Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Texas, a woman who has been missing for 3 weeks after taking her dog out for a walk. The investigation continues on that. And is Mr. Untouchable Sean P. Diddy Combs about to get touched? These stories and more coming at you today, Friday, March 29th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Happy Good Friday.
Good Friday.
It is a good Friday.
To my good man.
We're recording this a day early because
Woody don't work on Good Friday.
Woody goes fishing. Jesus was a fisherman. Did y'all know that? And a carpenter.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to start out, y'all, with a heavy heart. New York City Police Department, and unfortunately, cops get killed every day. But NYPD officer Jonathan Dealer, y'all, did a traffic stop in Queens, and he was 31 years old, and he had a wife, Stephanie, and a son that's almost 1 year old, and he just joined the police force back in February of 2021, and unfortunately, he was shot and killed doing what officers do every day, you know, a traffic stop. But our hearts and prayers go out to him and his family and everyone who knew and loved him. But I just, what pisses me off is they did this traffic stop and they asked him to roll down the window. They refused to roll down the windows. And Officer Dealer ordered the passenger, whose name was Rivera, to show his hands. And instead, Rivera pulled out a pistol and shot Officer Dealer, and it went in below his vest and it killed him, y'all. Mm. But listen to this. Rivera has been arrested by the NYPD 21 times, and 9 of them were felonies. He was just released in prison in September of 2021. And he's been in prison this whole damn life. And now the other guy, Jones, has 14 prior arrests, and he was arrested for second degree criminal possession of a weapon and having a loaded firearm on just April 17th of 2023. And he was out on $75,000 bond, and he previously served 10 years in prison for attempted murder and robbery charges and was released in 2013. So it's just, evil exists, and you know, everybody is down on the cops now. Certainly there are bad cops, but there's good cops like this one, young ones who just starting their family, starting their career, and they get murdered by these fucking habitual assholes.
Yeah, and you say it a lot. You know, we all say it a lot. You leave home and you don't know if you're coming back if you're a cop.
And they probably couldn't have done anything different. I mean, they approached the car and ordered him to show his hands and shot him. Yeah, stupid. But,
well, you know, Mayor Adams in New York is a former cop. And when he got elected, he talked heavily about everything he was going to do with crime. And I think, frankly, when he got in, he got a lot of pressure to go a different way. He's sitting there with DA Alvin Bragg and the policies that they've followed there. I think that guy has reached a breaking point and he's pissed.
Yeah.
And when you, I watched his press conference after this came out, and it's not just New York. I see this happening in Philly. There were big, big stories about what they're going to do in Kensington, and you know, they've got a new police chief there as well as a new mayor. And I think some of these cities, even San Francisco, I think enough is enough. Yeah. Is kind of happening right now, and these guys who all want to be reelected, it's not hard to read these tea leaves. They're going to have to figure out a way to go back to policing.
In our state too, not to make it political, but the new governor, Jeff Landry, is pulling out all the stops, trying to get, you know, be hard on crime. But they said there were over 100 NYPD officers that packed the courtroom for these guys' arraignment. Blue back and blue. And shout out to Brian Ott, the owner of the Basin, where I usually do my live shows. He was in New York City this weekend. He's big friends with NYPD. And I actually called him and said, I'm freezing my ass off. But, you know, those guys get it done. Everybody, guys and girls, wear the blue. Shout out to y'all. You don't get enough credit.
Amen to that.
Can I say one thing before you get going? Story, Jim. I just wanted to thank Tracy Lofton for coming in the other day. And
how did it work?
Well, the erection side effect put to the side.
I should have known that was coming.
Actually, I didn't know whether I'd scared her or not with that. And she wrote me a little note where she laughed about it. But I could, and she gave me the smaller. I don't know the difference in how many milliliters I got versus what the larger size is. But, I mean, I did a triathlon in the afternoon, I just have to say.
Wow. Yeah. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I swam halfway across my pool. I rode my quarterback. No. So I just – you feel different. I mean, you just feel different. You know something good has happened. For me, it was weird things. Like I felt my vision – was better. I have a lot of trouble with my eyes, I felt like, wait, wow, I'm seeing better. It's worth it for anyone to do it once and figure out if it's valuable to you. But I think back to, and maybe I couldn't have afforded it, but these kids today, a lot of their families can't. I mean, to get over a hangover on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning. I mean, that kind of thing, or just when you're feeling low on energy to go and do it, it definitely made a difference. And that was a day where I had gotten like no sleep. So I thought, I'm just going to be a wreck late afternoon. And I wasn't at all. And that was off the smaller amount. So if you're interested to give it a try, go to Tracy's Facebook page. It's the Lagniappe Infusions on Facebook. And we will, in the show notes, give you her digits so you can get in touch with her by phone. You can get in touch with her by email, or you can go to the Facebook page. But highly recommend you try it.
And y'all, this wasn't intended to be a commercial, but remember, $10 if you use her services and she comes to you, $10 goes to LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, and you also get a discount with code RRC.
100%.
Let's get in some true crime time for Good Friday.
Terrebonne Parish, that's where we're going to be at. Tell them where Terrebonne is.
Down south on the way to Cocodrie and Chauvin, and that's Homa and all that now.
Yep. Very, very south part of Louisiana. And a man is facing an attempted murder charge after he injured a Terrebonne Parish deputy while trying to drive away from a traffic stop. The Terrebonne Parish Sheriff's Office reported deputies responded to a call of a disturbance where they learned a man had threatened another man after reporting that the male was seen using illegal drugs. Deputies then received a description of the man's car and began patrolling the area. On March 22nd, deputies said they spotted a car that matched the description and pulled it over. During that stop, Deputy spoke with the man identified as 33-year-old Justin Ross Sons, who attempted to drive away from the scene. The deputy tried to stop Sons by grabbing onto the car when he tried to drive off. Sons made aggressive driving maneuvers with the appearance of intentionally forcing the deputy to release from the vehicle and fall to the ground. Sons then drove away from the scene. The deputy was injured and last reported to be in stable condition. Deputies then issued a warrant for Sons' arrest on charges of attempted first-degree murder of a police officer and resisting an officer by force or violence. Yeah. Terrebonne Parish Sheriff Tim Sonye said Sons had gone back to Marina Drive, where the deputy said they saw him leaving a camper before jumping into a body of water. Sons was later arrested and faces charge of attempted first-degree murder of a police officer and three outstanding warrants. Mm-hmm. So he actually got away.
Yeah.
You know. And then got captured later, jumping into a lake.
Yeah, running like a little bitch.
That's exactly right.
He's going to get his just desserts. Nah, Tim Sonye and him are not going to play with him. And you got to make that statement. But this guy had no regard.
No regard at all. And first-degree murder attempt of a police officer, there's no plea bargain in there.
No. He's going.
I can't imagine.
And you know what? They don't have to plea bargain because they got him.
Yeah.
Dead to rights.
Dead to rights.
Yeah. He will do the rest of his life. He'll die in bloody Angola.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th.
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you: do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates. Mm-hmm. Maybe a robe or a framed photo, right. Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So I mean, those cards and letters just keep coming in, guys. I can't help it. I just go where the audience wants to take us, and they love hearing sports stories. And there's something brewing here in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, at LSU, with the women's basketball coach, legendary women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey, that I think is on the verge of becoming big national news. That I think we should talk about it, because I think you guys have a unique vantage point on it, being here and being such large LSU fans. And I'm fascinated because I've never seen this kind of thing happen in women's basketball, for that matter.
She transcends women's basketball. She sure does. She is a face of LSU. She brought the national championship home last year. And I mean, she's just a character.
She's a character, and she transcended it the other day, where in a post-game press conference, where you're expecting the coach to answer questions about the game and how they won and who played well and everything else, she goes off on she doesn't name him specifically, but she goes off on an unnamed reporter from the Washington Post, which is strange paper, I would think, to be talking about the LSU women's basketball team, but
they're shit starters.
That this particular reporter has been working on a hit piece on her, that he has been talking to disgruntled former players and other people that she has coached. He told, apparently, to coach friends of hers that he was with her. He was with Kim.
Like sexually with her?
No, that she was present with him and trying to get them to talk to him and answer his questions. Okay. They acted like Kim was endorsing them answering the question. So I'm sure that many of you out there have not heard this clip, and so we want to play the clip for you. It's a little bit lengthy, but you need to get the full feel for how much emotion was in this, and remember, this is a post-game press conference. So here's what she sounded like.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy. Unfortunately, this is part of a pattern that goes back years. I told this reporter 2 years ago that I didn't appreciate the hit job he wrote on Brian Kelly, and that's why I wasn't going to do an interview with him. After that, the reporter called two former college coaches of mine and left multiple messages that he was with me in Baton Rouge to get them to call him back, trying to trick these coaches into believing that I was working with the Washington Post on a story. When my former coaches spoke to him and found out that I wasn't talking with the reporter, they were just distraught, and they felt completely misled. Former players have told me that the Washington Post has contacted them and offered to let them be anonymous in a story if they'll say negative things about me. The Washington Post has called former disgruntled players to get negative quotes to include in their story. They're ignoring the 40 plus years of positive stories that people or they have heard from people about me. But you see, reporters who give a megaphone to a one-sided embellished version of things aren't trying to tell the truth. They're trying to sell newspapers and feed the click machine. This is exactly why people don't trust journalists and the media anymore. It's these kinds of sleazy tactics and hatchet jobs that people are just tired of. I'm fed up, and I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me. Not many people are in a position to hold these kind of journalists accountable, but I am. And I'll do it. That's all I'm going to say about this right now. And now I'm going to get back to talking about my basketball team and winning this game tomorrow.
So you can see she means business. Yep.
She was pissed.
She's not play. Happy about this at all. She's called this guy out. She's called, and don't forget, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos. So you're talking about the deep pockets of Amazon being behind this this paper. So she's putting her dukes up against people with some pretty deep pockets. And this has become – so she did this over the weekend. And now we're here. The show is coming out tomorrow morning, Friday, but we're here recording on Thursday, and no hit piece has come out yet. Mm-hmm. But this is the talk of the sports world. Stephen A. Smith actually yesterday on ESPN took the Washington Post side of this story, criticizing Mulkey heavily for what she did in that clip that you just heard. And all of this, interestingly, comes at a time where if certain things happen, possibly the biggest women's collegiate basketball game in history, other than maybe a final game, will be played because LSU plays UCLA on Saturday. If they win, they advance to play on Monday. That would be an Elite Eight game. They would be one of the final eight teams in the NCAA women's tournament. On the other side, Iowa, which is the team that Caitlin Clark, who is last game she played and 3 million people watched, which is an enormous audience for women's basketball. She is the biggest draw in either of the men's or the women's tournament. She's playing against Colorado. Odds are really strong that Iowa wins that game, which brings a rematch or would bring a rematch of LSU versus Iowa on Monday, April 1st. And so if I were trying to maximize the impact of a hit piece against someone and I was confident that they were going to win that game against UCLA, I'd be holding that thing until Sunday.
And they very well may be doing that, or even till Monday.
They might. Or look, there's another side of it too, which is she came at them so aggressively. Maybe the editors there got involved, took a look at what this guy had, and pulled him off of it, or asked him to go get additional sources and additional sourcing on other things. So a lot of people have conjectured about what could be the story this guy wants to tell about Kim.
It's going to probably be something sexual.
You think?
Absolutely. But what else is there to tell?
Well,
unless she's betting or something. I mean,
look, I look at this in a lot of ways. If this were Nick Saban, you'd have the same situation because Nick Saban ain't going to answer questions the day before the national championship. Right. He's, the day before the SEC championship.
And this asshole's allegations are true. And you go Google Woody Overton in the Washington Post. They did a shitty piece on me way back when, and it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
So, mostly.
Yeah. and they had a few things on
fuck
Slim.
The Washington Post. Slim shit.
Slim that
they. I want to see what they're going to try to do. I don't think they got the balls to do it.
Well, this reporter's supposedly been after Mulkey for a long time. And so a lot of people that are criticizing her are saying, look, you've technically had a lot longer than a couple of days
Why would you lower yourself to his standards if you already know where he's coming from?
Well, based upon who we know he has talked to, it doesn't sound like it could be, but it doesn't sound like it's a betting. It doesn't sound like it's a sex scandal. It sounds more like it's an attack on her as an authoritarian kind of coach.
Like Bobby Knight. Being,
old school, the way she treated her players, those kind of things. And I think one specifically that we know she's talked to is Brittany Griner, who played for her and she won a national championship with her at Baylor. And, you know, the Brittany Griner story, getting arrested in Russia for weed and spent, I think, 10 months.
Yeah, it was a while.
In a Russian prison and the, you know, the stories that Kim Mulkey supposedly didn't reach out to her, didn't provide a lot of support, didn't say things in defense of her. I don't know. I think it's something more like that, and where they, you know, try to paint her as, you know, an old school authoritarian who isn't good to her players kind of thing. I don't know.
Remember Bobby Knight?
Yeah, I remember him.
I don't think there's anything wrong with throwing a chair into the middle.
Shit, we get shit knocked out of us back in the day.
Okay, but if you had to bet, so would you bet that it was a sex?
I don't see where everybody in the world knows Kim Mulkey is a hard ass, but she gets results unless they got a video of her choking somebody out or something. Yeah, that's just coaching. But right. they sexual allegations. I don't know. I'm saying they're just allegations because I don't think she's stupid enough. She's to blow her whole career over something like that.
Yeah, I personally think it's, if there's any hit piece that they would put out on her, it would be something similar to the, you know, the way that she treats her players with a very hard nose.
Oh, fuck.
I agree with it. But
they should have lived under Lee Overton. Coming
yeah, out. Well, she yeah. wins. You know what yeah, I mean? Right, so right, right. So the formula works.
Yeah,
my daddy raised. Anybody that would come out and criticize the way she coaches.
My daddy raised a good man, idiot. Too.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's clear they don't like her, and it's clear ESPN doesn't like her from what some of that coverage has been, which leads me to believe it's in that area. And if they've got a former player, a prominent former player like Brittany Griner, who's going to be quoted saying some negative things, I think it's going to be in that authoritarian
Kim
space.
Mulkey, we support you.
So, all right. And we want to see you play Iowa again. So yes, that's the biggest thing. We want to get to that game, and that game will get shoot. I mean, that may be the number one program on TV at that time on Monday if those two teams play. And I don't think there could ever have been a time where a women's college basketball event was the number one viewed thing on television at any point. I mean, I can't imagine at any point. So, you know, Caitlin Clark against Kim Mulkey in the, you know, with this thing circling, this scandal circling. So put it on your calendar, folks. Watch those games this weekend, and
we'll update you on Tuesday.
Hopefully they'll get that rematch Monday, and we'll see what happens.
Let's talk about Taylor Swift. Just kidding.
All right. Damn. I was getting excited there.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about her, unfortunately.
Come on, Jim.
All right.
No one believes that.
We're going to Florida, and a Florida woman is accused of stabbing the father of her 2-year-old son in a Miami Gardens home on Sunday afternoon. Katie Maldonado, 31, admitted to stabbing her on and off again boyfriend after claiming he attacked her. He attacked me and I stabbed him, Maldonado told police. I stabbed him at least 13 times.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Baker's dozen.
Blood be flying in that situation. The pair had been living together with their 2-year-old. A witness recorded the altercation and told police she heard the pair fighting and started filming the incident. So
that's what happens. You say it on camera.
You know how you see all that stuff? You see these altercations and 900 people are filming with cell phones and you're like, why didn't you try to do something? Right. Well, she didn't. She just filmed it, not saying that that's right or wrong. But according to the witness, Maldonado claimed the man tried to choke and bite her before she grabbed a knife. Mm. Before Maldonado stabbed the man, police say the witness claimed the man asked, "Why are you doing this? Please stop." Mm-hmm. At least he was nice enough to say please.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what she's saying, but if I'm trying to bite somebody or whoop them or whatever and they stab me 13 times, I'm getting the fuck off. You wouldn't have to stab me 13 times. Yeah. You'd stab me once. If I don't have a knife or a gun, I'm running.
Yeah, well, police, they arrived at the home, and they said that Maldonado was standing in the driveway on her knees holding a bloody six-inch knife. Yeah. So it wasn't a little, pocket knife. I think I stabbed in the neck, too, she told police.
Oh, Lord. I think I filleted him.
Maldonado was charged with second-degree murder.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. he did not make it.
He did not. Well, 13 he did not make it.
Leaks, and hate that for him.
Yeah, 6-inch knife, 13 times. 13 times. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
You'd have to be real lucky to get away from that one.
Yeah.
No major arteries hit. Yeah. You know,
you would think. I don't know her size, his size, but you would think that a guy could get like an angle and tackle her or something. I mean. After the first couple, the first couple of stabs must have been pretty lethal.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That first jug was somewhere vital.
You get stabbed unexpectedly, you're going into shock.
Yeah,
and then you get stabbed again and again and again and again and again. Yeah,
and I've tried to find some reports of her side is he was attacking her, but I haven't seen confirmation of that. I mean. Was it self-defense? But it's 13 times. Dang.
It's called overkill.
Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, guys, I know when I asked you about the Biebs a few weeks ago, you guys were not fans of the Biebs, but I know you have followed closely the career of Diddy.
No, I know who he is. I probably heard more of his songs than I have of the Biebs.
Yeah.
And unless I was listening because my kids were listening to Beaver back in the day.
Well, let me tell you about what's going on with Sean Combs.
I heard he's AKA in a shitload Diddy. Of trouble.
Mm. He's in some trouble. So for those
wasn't
of you.
Puff Daddy before he was P.
Yes,
Diddy?
Yes, he's had some names.
Puff
he's
Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy.
He has a personality conflict.
Well, no, he just does a little rebranding every now and then. Kanye has done a little rebranding. Kanye would be a good time right now to do a little rebranding. But let's talk about him. Sean Combs. Started Bad Boy Records back in the mid-90s. He was buddies with
Suge.
Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, yeah.
And he was actually with
Suge.
Notorious B.I.G.
No, with Notorious, but he got smoked.
The day he got smoked at the Peterson Auto Museum, and there are a lot of people who actually believe that it wasn't Biggie that was the target. It was Diddy that was the target, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, he founded the highly successful Sean John clothing line, which, I mean, that became a billion-plus
business. That's what I'm wearing right now.
He got your lady for a couple of years. He was with J-Lo in 99 and 2000.
Yeah,
and that was peak J-Lo. I even appreciated J-Lo at that point as a non-J-Lo fan, but 99, 2000 J-Lo, that was, he was playing in the big leagues there. In April of 1999, he was arrested for bashing record executive Steve Stout with a champagne bottle. I don't know if you guys remember that. Because Stout used unauthorized footage of Diddy in a music video.
Okay.
So he didn't like that, and he smashed a champagne bottle over the guy's head. He ended up paying $500,000 to Stout for that incident, and even though he faced 7 years behind bars for it, somehow his sentence became one day of anger management. And that kind of good fortune around trouble with the authorities has sort of been a theme over the years for him. So also in 99, J-Lo and his protege, a rapper by the name of Shine, got into an argument with a another patron at this nightclub in New York, and people started shooting.
Yeah.
And both Shine and Diddy were arrested and charged in connection with that gunfight. Shine ended up going to jail for 10 years, and Diddy ended up not being charged at all. Mm. He brought in Mr. Johnny Cochran to represent him in that case. The late Johnny Cochran. And Johnny kept his batting average up in his performance there. In 2021, skipping way forward, an FBI agent who worked the Notorious B.I.G. case told the New York Post that it was Combs, not Biggie, who was the intended target in that murder, as I said to you. This week's events could indicate the end of the long reign of Sean Diddy Combs and his ability to be Teflon in the face of some of these things. So here's what we know about the timeline of Diddy's sexual assault allegations that he's facing right now. And I would say sexual assault allegations as well as sex trafficking accusations. On November 16th of last year, Cassandra Ventura, who's better known as Cassie, had an 11-year relationship with Diddy from 2007 to 2018. They dated over that time. They never got married. She came out, filed a lawsuit saying that that she lived through a decade-long cycle of abuse, violence, and sex trafficking, and that in 2018 he raped her after she told him that she was going to leave him. That came out, and in less than 24 hours, Combs settled with Cassie, and everybody went their separate ways. He hired another famous lawyer by the name of Ben Braffman, and Braffman was representing him in that lawsuit, and others came out and said, just so we're clear, a decision to settle a lawsuit, especially in 2023, is in no way an admission of wrongdoing. Mr. Combs' decision to settle the lawsuit does not in any way undermine his flat-out denial of the claims. Bullshit. He is happy they got to a mutual settlement and wishes Ms. Ventura the best. Mm. Now, it's important to note that this happened, and the next accusation is similar. Remember, New York did that 12-month lifting of the statute of limitations on sexual assaults. This is what Trump got wrapped up into as well. So for 12 months, sort of as a reaction to Me Too, New York State decided that they were going to lift all statutes of limitations on all cases, and people have 12 months to come forward. And
they know about that.
Yeah, so they did that, and that brought some people forward. And November 23 is when the end of November of 23 is when that thing ended. And so on November 23rd of last year, Diddy was accused of sexual assault by another woman in a lawsuit filed in Manhattan. Her name, Joy Dickerson Neal. She accused Diddy of drugging and raping her when she was a college student at Syracuse University in 1991. So 32 years prior to when the case was brought, way outside the normal statute of limitations. Attorneys for Dickerson Neal claim she was the victim of revenge porn after the music mogul allegedly recorded the incident and shared the tape with others in the music industry. At the time of the filing, the New York State Adult Survivors Act, that's what it's called, 12-month window was about to come to a close. This was the law New York put into effect during the Me Too movement. I explained all that to you. Many New Yorkers refer to it as the Get Trump Law. Yes, they do. Diddy denied the allegations, claiming Dickerson Neal fabricated the story. A spokesperson for Diddy said this last-minute lawsuit is an example of how well-intentioned law can be turned on its head. Ms. Dickerson's 32-year-old story is made up and not credible. Mr. Combs never assaulted her. This is purely a money grab and nothing more. On that date, he also, same day, later in the day, he faced a third lawsuit, was filed. This came from someone that was demanded to be kept anonymous. So they are known as Jane Doe One in this case. And they claimed that that Diddy and a singer-songwriter by the name of Aaron Hall took turns raping her and a friend in New York City more than 30 years prior. Combs' spokesperson once again responded saying, these are fabricated claims, falsely alleging misconduct from over 30 years ago. Because Mr. Combs' fame and success, he is an easy target for anonymous accusers who lie without conscience or consequence for financial benefit. The spokesperson added, the New York legislature surely did not intend or expect the Adult Survivors Act to be exploited by scammers. The public should be skeptical and not rush to judgment. Well, on the 28th of November, Diddy, whether he was forced or he did it voluntarily, he stepped down as chairman of his TV network, the hip-hop TV network called Revolt. The company did announce that it was a, quote, temporary move, but you see that things are starting to get hot for him. And then on December 6th, the hits keep coming. Diddy's accused of sex trafficking and gang rape by a fourth woman. This woman, Jane Doe 2, accused Diddy, former Bad Boy Entertainment president Harve Pierre, and an unknown third individual of sex trafficking and gang rape when she was 17 years old. Jane Doe 2 claimed that Pierre approached her at a lounge in Michigan and convinced her to take a private jet with him and the unknown third person to Combs' recording studio in New York. Once she arrived, she alleged that she was given drugs and alcohol before being viciously gang raped, according to the lawsuit. Diddy spoke out on December 6th for the first time about all these allegations, saying enough is enough. For the last couple of weeks, I've sat silently and watched people trying to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things that these people are alleging. I will fight for my name, my family, and for my truth. Then, after 2 months of relative quiet, on February 26th, he was accused of sexual assault by a record producer. The accuser, Rodney Lil Rod Jones, a former producer and videographer for Diddy, really more like an assistant for Diddy, alleged that Diddy sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him while he was working with Combs on a recent album in September of 22.
Love album.
Through November of 23. It was the Love album. The accusations Jones made in his case were pretty wild. So groping his genitals, grooming him into having sex, putting him into some pretty ridiculous situations. Jones is seeking $30 million in damages in that case. And then on Monday of this week, which is where probably most of you picked up the story, and it's important to note that this was the Department of Homeland Security. This wasn't the FBI or some other government agency. It was DHS agents that raided his homes in both Los Angeles and Miami. And like I said, you probably saw those reports, but you have federal agents raiding Combs' homes on both the East and West Coasts. At that point, we don't really know what kind of conversation, if any, was going on with Combs, but Combs decided to head to the Caribbean with his family. Lots of pictures of him at a private airfield in Miami getting ready to go, and then pictures of him on the ground in a couple of different places in the Caribbean. Also on Monday, there was an arrest at of his alleged drug mule, a guy by the name of Brendan Paul. So it looks like they're turning over his residences, looking for, obviously, whatever other evidence they can find. And they've had this group of people all come together at the same time making these claims. It seems like the walls are kind of caving in, but the guy has not been charged with anything. I bet
whatever country he went to has no extradition.
Yeah, well, let me say this on it. When they searched his house this weekend, they took a lot of computers out and hard drives and things. Diddy's going down. And, you know, I did a lot of research on this for another podcast, and it's about 4 hours of really diving into those lawsuits. But they have screenshots of – I mean, these people brought the receipts, as they say. Yeah. All this is not even really alleged anymore, because in those lawsuits they provided clips from videos, screenshots of underage kids – just a lot of bad shit.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm going to say he is never going to set foot inside of a prison.
The most interesting thing about I would
but
agree.
Not because he's going to beat the charge, because he's off himself
for Epstein
extradition.
I'll say this, that, you know, the most interesting, one of the most interesting parts of that story is he has a, I guess you would almost call him a fixer. It's a guy. It's a particular individual that his staff knows. If you have a problem, you call this
number.
His name
is Ray Donovan is the guy's name.
His name is Swim.
Fahim Muhammad is the guy that's kind of like his fixer. And the interesting thing about that is Fahim Muhammad was also Michael Jackson's bodyguard when he was 21. I found that very interesting.
Interesting.
10 months before he died.
So let me do this.
Might be something.
Because it's our platform and the people, the lifers that listen to y'all, like y'all should. So you did a story earlier on Kim Mulkey. Your other podcast, didn't y'all cover it in depth?
Oh, yeah.
Death of Journalism?
Yes.
All right. And when did that come out?
Came out Thursday.
Right, and you did this. You covered P. Diddy in depth, or I'm talking about
exposed.
People want to know about the pictures and all that shit.
Oh, I covered the actual lawsuit documents.
So that was exposed. And
that was exposed. Scandalous files of the elite, and they can find that on any audio.
So
platform.
Both of these boys are bringing receipts on both of these stories.
There you go.
Check them out. Death all right. Journalism and exposed.
Thanks, Woody.
Both very good. All right, we're going to go to Texas.
Texas.
Got a lot of listeners in Texas, so we're going to shout out our Texas peeps, and we're going to tell you a Texas woman remains missing nearly 3 weeks after she disappeared while taking her dog for a walk.
She'd be dead.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not good at all, but her dog, Max, has reappeared. The Houston Police Department said 27-year-old Christina Johnson left her home with her dog in West Houston. She was reported missing after failing to return home. 9 days later, Max, her dog, was found 7.5 miles northeast of their home.
That's not good.
Good
for the home team.
Her father said, obviously, he's in rough condition right now, but we are looking forward to getting him groomed. His name is Emmanuel Johnson. He's not acting normal. He's scared almost. Max reappearing without his owner is very alarming, the father continued, and something ain't right. Obviously, she's in danger. Christina Johnson was last seen wearing a black hoodie, blue jeans, and a gray backpack, police said. She's 5'4", 140 pounds, and has black and brown hair. Now, there's a foundation called the Aware Foundation that they kind of get involved. They're a nonprofit in these missing cases, and they said that she did not have her phone with her when she left her home. So that was my first thought was, I mean, typically, you know, these days it's probably more common than not that you have your phone anywhere you go. So I was thinking, man, maybe they can ping a cell phone or Find My iPhone type apps. But she left it at her house. And she has absolutely disappeared off the face of the earth as far as right now.
That's not good. I mean, she didn't have any history of mental illness or disappearing.
They
would have said that.
You would have thought they would have if that would have been an issue.
Somebody finds her, sees her.
Anytime they leave their phone, the first thing I think when I hear didn't take the phone is hoax. But I don't know how there's be a hoax here.
I had a case and I covered on Original Real Life or Crime. It's fact. The brother reported the sister missing. They didn't live together. They lived in the same trailer park. And on the kitchen table was her cell phone and her pack of cigarettes. And I said, she'd be dead. Yeah. And it turned out she'd be dead.
Well, and if that dog's wandering around by itself.
I don't go anywhere. My cell phone stays attached to me if I'm walking across the living room. But it's my office, too.
Well, they know she wasn't abducted from the house? Do they know that?
They don't know. She went to walk that dog is all they know and never has been seen.
The case I'm talking about, she actually was killed in her kitchen and taken from the house, but there was no signs of a struggle. So that you wouldn't have known if we hadn't got the confession.
Right. Yeah. But if they know she walked the dog, then they know she left the house. She wasn't abducted in the house.
That's true.
How would they know she walked the dog?
I don't know.
Somebody they caught. Well, the dog's not.
Maybe they had a leash and the dog wasn't home and the leash is missing.
Well, that doesn't mean she couldn't have been abducted. She could have been abducted the second she opened the front door.
Right.
And the dog ran and the guy grabbed her.
I don't know. I don't know. Prayers for him and hopefully they find her.
A lot of strange stuff goes down in Kern County, California. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. I spent a decent amount of time in Kern County with a client who is the most famous resident in Kern County history. That client was a guy by the name of Buck Owens. Remember Buck?
Yeah, I remember Buck. That's music.
Well, before most of your mamas met your papas, Buck was topping the country music charts. In fact, Buck and the Buckaroos had 21 number one hits on the Billboard music chart, a record that stood for years until Michael Jackson finally broke it. My biggest thrill with Buck was when he invited me out to Bakersfield to see him do a show at his new venue that he had just built. A few months prior to that visit, I think it was in 1989 or maybe 90, Buck had a number one record again. It was a duet he did with Dwight Yoakam called Streets of Bakersfield, if you remember that song. Love that song. Well, over the years, I got into a good deal of trouble with Buck and even more with his son Mike, and we did some crazy shit, but nothing like what the guy I'm about to tell you about did. His name is Resendo Tellez, and he's fallen upon some pretty difficult times and is believed to be homeless. But Resendo happened to be in the area of a tragic train collision that happened in the small Kern County town of Wasco, California. This happened last Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Police arrived at the scene of the train collision where they found an unidentified dead man whose leg had been severed in the collision. Police searched the immediate area, but they could not locate the severed limb. Police had no idea that Resendo Tellez had beaten them to the crime scene and had taken a souvenir along with him. An eyewitness near the scene told the police and KBAK-TV that he saw a man waving around what appeared to be a human leg. According to the eyewitness and video that was provided to multiple local TV stations, the man was allegedly eating the human leg he'd removed from the train collision scene.
I always wonder what that tastes like.
The police caught up with Resendo Tellez and interrupted his Friday morning meal just a bit later. Tellez was subsequently arrested on one misdemeanor charge of removal of human remains from other than a cemetery, a misdemeanor charge of possessing controlled substance paraphernalia, and a felony charge related to violating his parole. One of the eyewitnesses, a guy by the name of Jose Ibarra, told KBAK, quote, "I'm not sure from where, but he walked this way and he was waving a person's leg and then he started chewing on it over there. He was biting it and he was hitting it against the wall, I guess, to tenderize it. He's scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday. They will not be serving any food during his court appearance.
Yeah, imagine that. I'm not going to even say what I usually say. This should be the segment where our new segment where we call Roy and ask him how many cases of cannibalism he's dealt with at Parish Forensics, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Roy would know what to do with that leg, that partially chewed.
That's crazy. I'm abstaining from kinky crimes because it's Good Friday, and that's how I roll.
Well, I'm going to abstain from dumb criminals then, because anybody who's dumb enough to eat the leg of a human can just
serve
as a dumb criminal.
I mean, you'd have to.
They
be
are dumb
hungry.
Criminal.
The I always wondered. I'm not going to get into the morbidity. I always wonder what it tastes like there. But the difference is that and everything else I've eaten, that fat is such a different color. It's that yellow, yellowish orange.
I think you'd cook it before you would ever give it a taste test.
Yeah, well, I mean, you cook the fat. I mean, the fat's where the flavor's at.
Okay, but this guy wouldn't. He wasn't found barbecuing the leg. He was just munching.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it raw.
That's good. That's good to know.
Words.
That's
very good. No words. All right. Hey, happy Good Friday, I guess you would say.
And happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
We love y'all.
Happy Easter.
And I hope Easter Bunny's good to y'all, and he is risen, and I hope you find some eggs, and I hope you get together. It's been a yearly, for as long as I've been alive, and as long as I can remember, as long as my daddy could afford it, he always cooked the whole ribeye. Standing roast, and last year I got to do it. He showed me on video because I mean, maybe he's not going to be here so much longer. But I'm going to be doing it for him this Sunday.
Oh, very good.
And he and I are going tomorrow, which when you hear this, to pick up the roast, and he's very excited.
Yeah, awesome.
So I hope y'all have a great time, a great Easter. I love y'all. We really, really, really do love y'all. And I know you get tired of hearing that shit, but it's the truth.
That's right. That's right.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter. Till next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglads.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.